35 to start with anyway. We now have 5 grandkids, ages 1 through 5. And whenever we all get together, it can be the best of times, and sometimes not so much. One of the key happenings in our house is dinner time. None of the kids are hungry when it's time to eat. When one gets hungry, they all get hungry. Not all at the same time. It's like 5 minutes apart. I'm hungry. Okay, would you like? No, I don't want anything. Okay, so you start feeding the first one. What would you like? I want a hot dog. Okay, get you a hot dog. Hey, I'm hungry too. You want a hot dog? No, I want peanut butter and jelly. And when the third one finally chimes in and says, I'll have macaroni and cheese, the first two change their mind and decide they don't want what you're already cooking. And everyone wants what they want immediately. Is that done yet? Hey, us come, and why not? Well, sooner or later, parents and grandparents have to set down some rules just to keep a little sanity in the house. If not for the kids, at least for themselves. And I don't mean to imply my kids aren't doing a good job of raising their kids. They're doing a wonderful job. But if you're familiar with kids, they'll test their daddy, they'll test their mummy, then they'll test their grandpa, and then they'll test their grandma. And every one of them's got to pass the test when it comes to holding down those rules. Not everybody's going to be ready to eat when the food is served. Not everybody's going to like everything that's on the table. But everybody can find something that can hold them over until the next meal. And so it is in church. Today's pledge is, I won't make a stink in church. I won't make a stink in church. Now, I want to give a disclaimer, all right? I've preached a couple of these messages, and I guess I've hurt some people's feelings. I honestly don't have people in mind for this series. This series is out of Tom Rainier's book, I Am a Church Member, and I'm just following the chapters. There's 6 chapters. There's 6 sermons out of it. And I honestly don't have anybody in my crosshairs thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to give it to so-and-so. So please don't think that Pastor Everhart has a bad attitude about anybody here. I love you all. And, you know, just trying to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit best I can. And I thought this was a great book for us to study together. So if I have offended you at all in some of the things that I've said about membership and so on, please don't take it personal. Unless the Holy Spirit is, you know, tagging something to you, then that's my disclaimer, and I'm sticking to it. Mark chapter 9 and verse 35. He sat down, called the 12 disciples over to him, and said, whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. Lord, I doubt that any one of us here this morning feels as though we haven't done this. That we're trying very hard to subdue our pride and love each other dearly and be as helpful as we possibly can. And I'm pretty sure that the disciples themselves were kind of surprised when Jesus brought it up. They may have elbowed each other and said, he's talking to you. But Lord, I have learned that no matter how good we get at this pride, humble thing, just about the time we think we got it down, we've lost it again. Would you speak to us fresh today from your word and help us to truly be hearted like Jesus's heart and help us to change our thinking and our behavior in ways that will please you, and we'll thank you for that help in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a strange phenomenon that takes place whenever you join a church. You're welcome to visit many churches. You will compare their worship styles, preaching abilities, children and youth programs, seating comfort, convenience of service times, distance traveled from your house. Many things will factor into your search for a church. But when you make a commitment to becoming a member, you put personal preferences aside and you put on an apron. Now, when you're shopping for a church, there are several questions you should ask. Can I worship here? Is this a style of music that's commensurate with my style of worship? Is it easy for me to enter in and be pulled in? Does it seem like the worship leader, the worship team, is sincere in their quest for God? Is it not about performance, but rather drawing close to God? Can I grow here? Is the teaching and preaching such that it challenges me? It causes me to think of things I didn't otherwise think of. Have I had that experience where I was just thinking, I just went through it this week, and then I get to church and bam, there it is again. Can I grow here? Can my entire family eat here? Both spouses, each one of the kids, is everybody getting fed in this place? I remember when Josh and Andrea were looking for a church in North Carolina, they would give me a critique of the one that they had visited after the week, and I think this one, they spent a couple weeks in that one, and Josh just thought that the preaching was excellent. He just thought it was spot on, and Andrea couldn't possibly see what in the world he was talking about. The guy seemed dry and technical to her, and you know, it just, but can everybody get fed in the church you're looking at? Can I submit to the leadership here? Do I trust these people? Do I get a sense from them that they're sincere about seeking the Lord for guidance? Is it about them or is it about Him? This is an important point because we will not always agree on things. Husband and wife don't always agree on the same thing, even after many, many years, let alone, you know, people in a setting like a church. And the key question is, can you trust these people? That's the question. I won't always agree, and some agreement should go into your decision of what church you're going to go to, but can I trust them? Do I feel like, even if they make a mistake, it'll be a sincere mistake? It's something that's understandable. And it's interesting, too, that as you join a church and you stay with a church long-term, each one of these points will be tested. There might be a tweaking to the worship style. There might be a series from the pulpit that just doesn't ring your bell. Maybe you don't like this particular series. Maybe your kid's favorite teacher went to another class or died or something else. Maybe the board will decide to change service times. Say, oh man, they're always messing with stuff and so on. And all these things will be tested a time or two because we're human and because things continually change, but inconveniences hopefully test and strengthen our commitment to the core mission of the church. We step back and we say, well, why am I going to that church? Am I going to that church because of the time that we meet and it was just so convenient? Or do I agree with the core mission of this church? Do I feel like they get it and I want to be a part of that? I'm not here to have all my itches scratched. I'm here to find my place of service in the kingdom of God. Is this church serious about the great commandment and the great commission? The great commandment is love one another. Is this church committed to loving each other? The great commandment, go into all the world and preach the gospel, you know, making disciples. Is this church committed to that commission? Can I do that here? I don't want other members distracting us from those core values. We serve Jesus here. And I want to be sure I'm not the guy that's distracting us from the reason God created church. So date a church as long as you like. Date as many churches as you like, with the intention of someday making a commitment. And nobody can say what that range is. Well, if you've been to a church three times, that's about time you make, well, or you've been there for 2 years now, maybe that's a good length of time. That's between you and the Lord. Date a church as long as you like. But when you're ready, make a commitment. I've helped a number of people through this process. And sometimes good, solid Christian people, for whatever reason, it takes a while to find that next church where they're ready to be committed. And often that is a work of God, not of the people. Sometimes it's a lack on our part. But at other times, it's part of God's process in bringing them to the place where they need to be. Today, in the Christian world, we have more people than ever before who identify themselves as Christians but do not attend church at all. There are tens of thousands of people in America. The polls show they confess Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They believe in the Word of God, but they are not obedient to the Scriptures to be joined to a local community of believers. Add to that, we now have millennials. We now have a group of people being raised up who hate commitment and who hate membership in anything. And not just church, but it goes across the board. Part of that is society. As part of that is the way that the economy has gone. Your dad may well have spent 40 or 50 years in the same job that he started out in. That's not going to be true of our kids or our grandkids. They expect that every couple years there's going to be some kind of change because of technology and so on. So, but whatever the reasons are, we now have a lot of people who are hummingbird-type Christians. And they wake up on Sunday morning, or they talk about it Saturday night. Well, what church are we going to go to this week? I was looking at the website, and they've got a concert going on over here. They got a speaker over there. I like this one. I kind of feel like going over there. And they don't feel a need to commit in any way. They're happy, and God bless them. You know, they're still at least engaged in church in some way. But what about the work of the kingdom? How does that get done? How do children get taught? How does the lost get reached? Jesus caught his disciples getting caught up in personal agendas. So he called them aside. He sat them down. And he explained that putting yourself first doesn't build the kingdom. In fact, it destroys the kingdom. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. And in a church, it's incumbent upon the leadership to serve. The teachers serve. The students serve. When you become a part of a church, you become a part of a service organization. When you become a member of the church, you become part of the staff. You voluntarily put yourself last so that others can be served ahead. You begin to serve the others. I don't know if I should tell you this one or not. Tell you what, you guys can be my test case, okay? Tell me if I should use this in the second service or not. If this is bad, I'll just strike it. But if you think this is good, then we'll do it for the second. So this isn't about us. This is about the next service, okay? A couple years ago, we had a pretty good crowd on a for a breakfast that we had. And I said to, and Deb was worried about we're going to run out of bacon. And I said, oh, well, you don't have to worry, because our people will step back and let the visitors eat first, and then we'll. And she looked at me and she said, do you know our people? And she said, Pastor, you just stand here and watch with me a second. And some people really like bacon, I guess. And then I saw what her concerns were. But understand, to me, that was kind of a foreign concept. Because as I was born and raised in church, that's the way we were taught, you know. That we had a breakfast to invite our friends in the front door of the church, or at least in the back door of the church, to have some fellowship and get to know them and so on. And I just thought it would be a natural thing. And so apparently it's not all that natural, and so I bring it up in a message. Okay, how many think I should use that in the second service? And how? First of all, how many think I should use that in the second service? Well, that's, yeah, okay. Well, that's a majority for sure. And how many think, nope, you better nix that? Okay, good. All right, I'll try to remember to add that in there. Of course, I'll tell them, well, I was telling the first service this. Yeah, so anyway, when we become members, we begin to serve. Sadly, that's not the prevailing attitude in a lot of churches. Tom Rainier, again, the guy that wrote the book that we're going through this series, I Am a Church Member, he did a survey on churches that have plateaued or declining in attendance. He kind of wanted to know, what are the termites that eat away at a structure of a church and keep it from growing like it's supposed to? And he found out that there were worship wars going on. Or people were raising Cain over any deviation in singing style, decor, or any other changes that went on, instruments and so on. And he found this. Where is it? Every change in the plateaued or declining churches was met with a battle. The church's entire attention was focused on trying to keep volatile individuals happy. Do you know any volatile individuals? I'll introduce you to one, okay? Look in the mirror. I know that because I consider myself a rather calm individual. But apparently not always. And there are times the enemy knows how to get my goat. And I can get rather upset and militant about a few things. And I have to be very careful when my blood pressure goes up. Not for my health reasons. I'm talking about all of us. Every once in a while we can get our nose out of joint. And we just have to be real careful. Now, there are a number of dear saints who would not possibly think. They have been hurt in churches before. And the last thing they want to do is cause pain or experience any more pain. And so rather than even mention anything that is a problem, they'll sneak out the back door and they'll be gone. No forwarding address. What I mean is, you just won't see them after a while, and then they refuse all contact. So please hear this. There is a place, a need, a necessity for resolving issues. When there is a hurt, you may be seeing something that I'm not seeing, and I need to see it. You may be hearing something I'm not hearing, and I need to hear it. You may be hurt or wounded in some way, and I want to know that. I want an opportunity to minister to that. And God bless our people. There are so many of our people that are very good at this. They've called me aside. They've given me a phone call. We've had a meeting together. And just in a spirit of love and fellowship of saying, hey, you know, here's what I see. And is there something, is there a plan for this? Or what? Then we can talk about it from there. As I've said before, we cannot improve without input. And please hear this. I wish I wasn't, but I am very human. And you may bring a problem or an issue to me, and I may not want to hear it at the moment. That's very possible. Go ahead and slap me then, okay? I give you permission. Because I'm asking for your input, but I'm confessing this because I see this alive in other people too. We ask for comments, we ask for input, and then we get upset when we get it. That's human. But give it anyway. And I will do my best to poker face or to smile or whatever, because I need your input and feedback. If it's irritating you, chances are it's irritating somebody else. And if we together can work on a solution, you see, there's a world of difference between being a person who's just upset and there isn't anything we can really do to improve that situation. They're upset about this, we'll take care of this, and then they'll be upset about that. That's one thing. But a completely different animal is we're on a team together. And you need to come back to the huddle and say, hey, Pastor, I've noticed this. And I think if we don't take care of that, that's going to be a distraction or that's going to be a deflection to some new folk coming in. And so we need to strengthen this part of our ministry. Do you have any guys, you're talking about, is there anything I can do to help? I mean, hear what I'm saying. I'm not trying to browbeat anybody this morning. Just, we can do better. I want us to do better, but we can't. So I want to preach a message that encourages you to get a thicker skin and hang in there and be part of this team. And on the other hand, I don't want to preach a message where you go away thinking, well, he doesn't want to hear what I have to say. He was preaching this morning about us just being dumb followers. And that's not my message at all. The Lord is not looking for mindless drones, but for good-hearted team players. And my desire is, my hope is, that if you've come to me with suggestions or comments before, that you felt like you were loved, you felt like you were valued, you felt like something was done about what your concerns were, or at least moving in that direction. We need to have a basis of love, truth, and an investment of our hearts in this place. So we have the people who won't go to church any longer. And we have those spiritual hummingbirds that will come by and drink a little nectar every once in a while. And we also have within the church a lot of people who attend church and they love the Lord and they even love the church, but it's at a distance. There's a fear of getting hurt. There's a fear of whatever. And so we kind of come to church like this. We even have a lot of folk who come in after the service has started and leave before it's over, just not to have contact with other people. And I also know, as I've mentioned several times already, there are a lot of us who have been hurt in other church situations. And when they come in, the last thing they want to hear about is membership or commitment, because they need to heal for a little while before they consider those things. So I want you to know, we don't push membership, we offer it. I'm doing this series, yes, but I don't normally do series on memberships. And we've had a lot of people join our church who said, you know, you never mentioned membership. Do you have that here? Yeah, we do. We don't push it because I know that there's a lot of bruises out there. And we don't expect you to join us. But we invite you to do so. You are welcome to become a member of this church. And I meant that. We don't expect you to join us, but we invite you to do so. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Some of the people that have caused the most damage in churches are the most talented or generous. And included in that list are pastors. Some pastors have destroyed churches, and it's very sad to see what has happened. And I think the problem is when we come to think that whatever I think is what God thinks. I get it right sometimes. And I blow it royally sometimes. And then there's that sea in between. And if you have attempted to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit, you probably find there are times when he speaks so clear, you just know exactly, this is God. And then there are times when he whispers so faintly, you very carefully inch your way along, looking for confirmation along the way. Lord, I think this is what you're telling me to do or to say, but I want, and I'm telling you, it's hard. It's hard to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit from your own voice and desires and from the enemy's ventriloquist act. And anybody who has followed after the Lord and been a veteran of this thing, you know by the voice of two or three witnesses, let something be established. You feel an impression on your heart from the Lord. You look for confirmation. Lord, I want to make sure that this is what you're doing. I want to make sure that this is what you're thinking. But there are some souls out there who think if they think it, it must be from God. And they've lost that filter there. And so you get a couple of these folk. I remember a story long ago. It was probably about 35 years ago. There was a church near the one where I was a youth pastor, where it was a Pentecostal church, and they were going through this back and forth. Some of the people felt like they needed to build a new building, and some other folk thought, no, we need to stay where we're at. And so one person got up and gave a message of prophecy that was about, you know, hear the word of the Lord. You know, pick up and move, and I will show you the way, and, you know, we will build, you know. And then a few seconds later, another person on this side stood up and said, hear the word of the Lord, set down your roots, and, you know, and here you will abide, you know. And you're going, whoa, you know. How many have met people before? And it's who we are. And trying to surf these waters and trying to figure it all out can really be something. They think they're doing God a service by making a stink or rebuking others. How we handle what is disturbing us is of utmost importance. Talent is not the issue. Intelligence is not the issue. Giving is not the issue. Even spirituality is not the issue. Attitude is at the heart of everything we do. If our attitude is right, our gifts will bless and not harm. If our attitude is right, our suggestions will improve our church, not cause division. If our attitude is right, we will continually find correction because whom he loves, he disciplines. Paul said, our attitude ought to be the very same as Jesus Christ. Whoa. He did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He had an office, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But he didn't come and beat people. He came and he spoke the truth in love. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. He humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Well, am I supposed to let them get away with this? They're this and they're that. It's not your church. It's not my church. It's his church. And so often And I wish I knew this better when I was younger in the ministry. But so often as I've aged, just stepping back and doing nothing and letting God work for a little while has brought about miracles. Just recognizing it's not mine. Just, you know, they may be attacking me, but I am not my own. I have been bought by a price. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Not mine, his, says God. And if we would all just take that attitude of Jesus, they're crucifying him and he's saying, forgive them. They know not what they do. How many know there's a lot of people who don't know what in the world they're doing? Forgive them, God. And wouldn't the sweetest thing be that they come around? Not go away, but come around. And our fellowship be all the more sweeter because somebody was willing to take the blows and turn the other cheek. So allow me to post this disclaimer to anybody who is considering becoming a member of this church, and I'll add this to it. If you're already a member and you want to second guess that, if you want to cash in on that, here's my disclaimer. Maybe you didn't know this, and on that basis we'll release you from membership. This is not a perfect church, okay? If you're thinking of joining here, I want you to know right up front. A lot of times when people start attending a church, they get that honeymoon. Oh, it's so glorious. It's so wonderful. Everybody, oh, you're every sermon you preach. Oh, every song they sing. It's just everybody is so friendly. And we're always tempted to think, have you met so-and-so yet? And maybe that'll be a requirement for membership. You need to meet so-and-so. And I did not have a so-and-so in mind when I said that, okay? Disclaimer still in place here, all right? Please, okay. Enough said there. We have too few workers to cover the programs that we already have. We have great dedicated workers. They're doing a great job, especially our kids' programs. I don't know how many. Probably a ratio of 2 leaders for every child would be about right, if you know kids, but that's not our ratio. The pastor here forgets what you told him not to forget as soon as you're done talking to him. At present, we're not praying enough as individuals and as a church body. At present, we are not serious enough about connecting to our community and reaching lost souls. But we're working on all those things. Obviously, we could use some fresh ideas as to how to better connect with our community and reach the lost. But what we need more than anything else is willing workers. And I've been praying. The Lord said, pray the Lord of the harvest sends forth laborers into his field. That would be people who take Jesus' direction to become a servant of others seriously. People who follow Jesus' example of humility, submission, and sacrifice. And thus, we make this commitment this week. I will not make a stink in the church over my personal preferences. Week number one was, if no one else serves, I will. Week number two, I will be a unifying member of this church. And now this morning, I will not make a stink in the church over my personal preferences. And when I do, I will do my best to make things right. I'll give my 10% and I'll show up to work. Jesus, you can count on me not to get my flesh in the way of what you're trying to do here at New Life Assembly of God or in East Berlin, Pennsylvania. Pastor, board member, coordinator, I'll do my best to say yes whenever you call. And one final tremendous point that Tom Rainier makes in this chapter I thought was worth noting. As you serve selflessly, you will come across others acting selfishly. We are called to serve them too. Isn't that a great line? You're serving, don't go grumbling and complaining to God. Well, did you see what they did? That's why we're here. Hopefully they will get it and they will be turned around. But until they do, I'm not here to judge. I'm here to serve. Would you stand with me this morning? You remember how Paul said our example needs to be Jesus. So that's what this song is about, his example.